This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The U.S. and other Western nations are watching closely after Russia reached a truce with the head of a mercenary group that attempted a takeover. Correspondent Cammy McCormick has our top story.
The Wagner Group's revolt was aimed primarily at Russia's military leaders, and European Union chief Josep Borrell says it shows the need to keep supporting Ukraine.
The war against Ukraine is cracking Russian power.
Russia's defense chief was shown on television today visiting troops at a bunker in Ukraine.
Vladimir Putin made an appearance in a Kremlin video. At least one person was killed in Indiana in a deadly storm system that's hit parts of the Midwest and the South. Correspondent Lilia Luciano is tracking the damage.
Across the South, severe thunderstorms swept through parts of central Arkansas Sunday night, bringing down power lines and trees that blocked streets. More than 120,000 people lost power as the state enters the hottest week of the year.
Officials in the New York area are warning of departure to delays at all three airports because of thunderstorms in the Northeast. Just in from the Supreme Court, justices have rejected Ohio State University's bid to dismiss lawsuits brought by alleged sexual abuse victims of a now-deceased doctor who worked in the school's athletic department for almost 20 years. The college reached agreements totaling more than $60 million with almost 300 survivors. And the Supreme Court has declined to hear the case of a North Carolina public charter school that refused to require girls to wear skirts. Its founder said the uniform policy was aimed at treating women like fragile vessels. Closing arguments are expected today in the trial of a former Florida sheriff's deputy in a mass school shooting 5 years ago. CBS's Jim Crisula.
Scott Peterson is charged with felony child neglect for allegedly failing to confront the shooter during the 2018 massacre at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School that left 17 dead. Prosecutors say the 60-year-old former deputy failed to enter a three-story classroom building to confront the shooter. Peterson says he did not know where the shots were coming from.
In the UK, Prince Andrew's former wife, the Duchess of York, has undergone a mastectomy. Correspondent Vicky Barker reports from London.
The former Sarah Ferguson says her cancer was discovered during a routine mammogram. She's urged all women to get themselves checked, even if, like her, they have no symptoms.
A top worn by Ferguson's late sister-in-law, Princess Diana, when she was just 19, is going up for auction. Sotheby's expects the red sweater with white sheep Diana wore to then Prince Charles polo match in 1981 to sell for up to $80,000. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The Wisconsin Department of Justice has released additional details in a Vernon County shooting that left one man dead. The Department of Justice said 61-year-old William Boardman was leaving a home on June 16th in Genoa and tried to flee from a sheriff's deputy during a traffic stop. The deputy, Jonathan Brown, hung onto the side of the vehicle and shot Boardman after he refused to stop. Boardman was pronounced dead at the scene. The DOJ is still investigating the shooting. A part of La Crosse Central High School will open today after being closed due to an electrical fire in the building's HVAC last Wednesday. The school district said all summer classes and activities would continue as scheduled, although some of them may be moved to a different location until the rest of the building is open. And one of the state's longest-running country music festivals wrapped up over the weekend, Country Fest in Kidat. Expected record crowds of around 100,000 people. During the event, they announced a few of next year's headliners. Eric Church, Keith Urban, and Jake Owen will be part of the lineup in 2024. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Walks, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks today, 855-954-1186.
Calling to win, Gingras Thompson & Walks, GTWLawyers.com. Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday or is it Dom's or Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. 93.5 The Tap.
But we also proved that not always nice.
But even when you're upset and even when you're ticked off, you still come from a place of compassion and love. Whereas I'm just old, bitter, and jaded.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Should Tony Evers sign this budget? Should he just veto line item veto? Should he veto the whole thing? Should he sign it? What, if from what you know, and we're going to recap the whole thing as far as what's in, what's out, but as Republicans passed their bill out of the Joint Finance Committee, it now goes to the legislature, and they will be set to vote on it this week. And so from there, it goes to Tony Evers' desk, and he has the option to sign it, to veto some parts of it, or veto the whole thing, which he has threatened to do based on some of the pieces that are in their plan right now. So I would love to hear from you, 844-967-2789. Should Tony Evers sign this budget? 844-96-PARTY. And big announcement today.
Very big announcement.
Very big announcement. It's Monday, and that is the voice of Mr. Greg Bach.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm great.
Why am I here?
Well, Jane is still out.
That's right.
But you're here.
Why?
Because you actually work here now.
Oh, my good gravy.
So we're going to talk more about that at the end of the hour.
Yes, we will.
Because I want to talk about the topic.
Yes,
but just
course.
For everyone who is potentially surprised.
Confused.
Happy.
Elated.
That Greg Bach is indeed on the board today, so we're going to have some fun with him. But Greg Bach, should Tony Evers sign this budget? Or should I go through more of it?
I think, well, in my heart of hearts, I'm like, no.
Just, really?
Yeah, just Oplander, throw that pen, stamp it, veto, stand up, cross your arms, and say, what?
And then just wait till October for a new, we just rolling with the budget that we've had. And try again in October.
And then he pulls out an ice cream cone, just starts licking, going, what are you going to do about it? Nothing.
Well, they're Joe McClear and Tony Zimmerman are both very excited that you're here. Greg, wait, did I sleep through the Monday and Tuesday? And Tony says, Greg.
Oh, you guys are so special and sweet.
All right. So this is just a reminder as this slog has been happening and there's been headlines each day of things that are happening, things that are in, things that are out. But the big one that came from last week was the $3.5 billion income tax. And so we talked about that on Friday as far as both how much in dollars is it being $3.5 billion. So it's half of our surplus. But Democrats criticized the plan for benefiting the wealthy, while most Republicans argued simplifying tax brackets would make the state more competitive and keep employers in the state. So just as a reminder, as far as if you make $1 million, you'll save like $30,000 on taxes. If you make between $60,000 to $70,000, your taxes would go down by about $249. And if you're making between $25,000 and $30,000, you'd see about a $15 reduction. So certainly not a huge tax break, ultimately, for people making like less than $100,000, which is most people in Wisconsin. But we talked to CJ Safer on Friday as far as arguing why appealing to higher income, from the Republicans' point of view, appealing to higher income citizens and potential citizens is good for the economy. Whether or not you believe that, who am I to say?
Seems pleasant enough.
Next thing is all K-12 schools are getting funding increases. So Wisconsin schools under this bill would receive about $1 billion in additional revenue through a mix of new funding and property tax increases as a part of the lawmakers' budget action, and a separate agreement between Evers and GOP lawmakers on local government spending. So of the new spending, it's about $778 million, and then allowing school districts to raise the rest through property taxes. The special part of this is also the percentage of special education costs would go from 30% under the current law to 33%. I still don't think that's probably enough for how much special education costs, but it is somewhat of an increase. The next big bucket, and this is our first... The tax cut for the highest income earners could be a deal breaker for Evers, but the one that definitely I think is going to end up in a showdown is the $32 million cut from the UW system. And so Republicans voted last week to cut funding to the University of Wisconsin system by $32 million, which is equivalent to about 200 positions, in an effort to eliminate diversity offices and programming on all of the campuses. And the $32 million is roughly equal to what the UW system spends on offices and employees focused on diversity, equity, and inclusion, which, as a reminder, is more than just race. It is race, but it is first-time college, like first-generation college students. It's veterans. It's people with disabilities. It is basically any kind of non-traditional student that these programs service. It's not just about race. Say that. But Evers has said, because this is, I think, the original ask from both the UW system of saying what they needed and what was in Evers' proposal was like closer to $400 million. So to be cut by $32 million, Evers has said that he will veto any spending plan if they move ahead with the cuts. So this could be the dagger.
Well, it also seems like a punishment, too. It just like always is like, we'll give you this. And it's always with the Republicans' budget, it should always be like, but then what? You know what I mean? We'll give you this, but school choice. We'll give you this, but we get to slash the UW system.
Yeah, well, some of the compromises, like the school choice shared revenue stuff, I think is, obviously, if you are not a fan of school choice, not a great deal. But some of the compromises, see back and forth, this just feels petty.
Yeah.
Because it also doesn't feel constructive at all. Because even Jay Rothman, who's like comes from the private sector, who is arguing pragmatically about why DEI offices exist and what they do to recruit new students and new types of students, because we need the argument of we should want a thriving UW system and we should want more people entering higher education to become nurses and teachers and the different professions that we need and wanting these people to stay in Wisconsin. And like all of these bigger picture things versus just, well, they're indoctrinating 18-year-olds. So we got to make sure that doesn't happen anymore.
Well, it sounds like they're making a budget on conspiracy theories. That's the weirdest thing too. It's like you want your kids to be real Americans. We're going to make sure they don't hear any sort of message whatsoever.
Well, and it's like to cut the $32 million and then give no other funding for all the other programs of the UW system, including the engineering building that at Madison that need to catch up with inflation and to stay competitive just feels not good.
No, not at all.
Not good.
Nope.
All right, moving on of what else is in the Republicans' budget. Wage increases for state workers. So there's going to be pay raises for state workers and UW system employees, which will increase 4% this July and another 2% next July. There's some changes in transit funding. So Republicans approved a 2% increase for transit funding in the next state budget. But the increase came paired with a proposal to move funding from buses and other mass transit systems from the state's transportation fund to the general purpose fund, the state's largest pool of funding used for a wide variety of things.
Yes.
And so potentially that move could put transit in competition with a bunch of other priorities and could be not good for transit, and some would argue.
Guess who hates mass transit more than anyone else in Madison? His name rhymes with Schmobin Poss.
But I just don't understand why people hate the argument for hating mass transit, which is probably a different topic for a different show as we're running through this. But yeah. I get why people love their cars, but I don't know why they hate mass transit so much. But anyways, all right. As we're running through, we're talking about what's in, what's out from the budget. I'll run through the rest of this, and then we would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. Should Tony Evers sign this? Or should he, have his line veto for? What should he veto in general? But keep going through the list. Pay increases for prosecutors and public defenders. The state budget plan will increase the starting wage for district attorneys and public defenders in the upcoming state budget by $8.76. So the minimum pay rate will be $36 an hour. And then it will also increase for private attorneys who work as public defenders. They'll go from $75 to $100. $70 an hour to $100 an hour. And then, of course, they've also included barring Medicaid from covering health care for transgender Wisconsinites, which unclear whether or not that provision will withstand legal scrutiny, especially as we hear more and more judges knocking these down, whether it's in Arkansas or Tennessee, I think are the two cases most recently that have knocked down any kind of legal ban from gender-affirming care. But then just a reminder quickly of what's not in it. At the beginning of the budget process, Republicans on the committee voted for a motion to remove more than 500 items from Evers' proposed budget. So there is no Medicaid expansion, no marijuana legalization, no paid family leave, no child care counts, no cost school lunches and breakfasts, no more funding for high-speed internet throughout the state, no mental health programs in schools, no additional state funding for the Office of School Safety, which is going to run out of federal funds that have effectively kept it running. And also, they are not expanding Medicaid coverage for new mothers from the 2 months they get currently to a full year. So they still only get 2 months. So, would love to hear from you. Should Tony Evers sign this budget? Or are you willing to bite the bullet and have him veto it and we just keep running on the budget that we've been working through until October, where we can try this all again? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Would love to hear from you. Greg will take your calls now. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
Calling to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Apple pie, fireworks, parades, red, white, and blue. Civic Media loves 4th of July, and we hope you do too. Would your business benefit from reaching hundreds of thousands of radio listeners? Show your American pride by helping sponsor radio promos, celebrating Independence Day, listing city fireworks displays, and honoring military veterans. If your business would like to be involved, email your name and phone number to info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Mattenair.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We have a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm this afternoon. Otherwise, it'll be mostly cloudy this morning, gradually becoming partly cloudy by this afternoon. And a high today, right around 75. The wind north at 10 to 20. Clear tonight, 54. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 67.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
MW.
Get trusted! Get trusted!
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry, and we got Greg Bach on the board today.
Hello.
Jane is still out, so we're getting Greg all trained up. You've been training.
I've been training. I've been like boxing slabs of meat, drinking
running
raw
stairs,
eggs, high-fiving the youth through the streets of Waukesha. I mean, I'm an American story. I really am.
Totally. And we've but this is your big day.
My big day.
Big day solo.
Yep.
Baby birds. Baby birds learning how to fly.
Calvin's helping me. If I get any help, if I screw anything up, he's going to jump over my back and be like, what did you do?
But so far, so good.
So far, so good, yeah.
We're not even a fourth of the way through the show yet.
Oh,
you have not screwed up.
Thank you very much. I got plenty of time to mess us up.
All right. So we are talking about what's currently in the budget, coming out of the Joint Finance Committee, what's out, and we'll have the amendments this week and reconciliation, but basically by July 1st, Evers is supposed to sign this thing if it's going to happen. And so we went through in the last segment, high level, what's in it, what's not in it. And I am asking you whether or not you think he should sign it. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Because basically, his options are to sign it, whatever gets passed out of the legislature, to have some line items that he vetoes, which I don't know enough about how that works, because I feel like even if he, like for the $32 million cut for the UW, he can't just create money that does go there. I guess he could maybe veto that part, but it just leaves the funding flat then for the UW system? Is that how you understand it?
I mean, I'd like to think I do, but I feel like someone a lot smarter is going to be like, yeah, no, you don't get this at all. But I also just feel like at the end of the day, it's just going to be, we're going to have to suck it up and let UW get even more money taken away from them. So, and that's so...
Well, and it's interesting. So when CJ Safer was here Friday, we were talking in between the break, and you know, it's interesting as far as how voting demographics have played out, and that there are a lot of higher income voters who vote democratically. And the argument, or at least the like economic rational argument, being people in that tax bracket who are going to see a lot of money back will want Evers to sign this because they personally will benefit. And I pushed back on him a little bit because I was like, one, we had already had a caller that day. Granted, it's just one caller. But even as I speak for myself, and I'm certainly not I'm not in the top bracket, let's be honest. But like what? Looking at the money that Mike and I would get back, to me, that trade-off doesn't make sense. Like there's programs that I would rather see funded than get somewhere between $1,000 and $2,000 back in taxes. And I think it's a gamble to think that a lot of people who voted for Tony Evers don't also think that way, that they're going to be pressuring him to sign this because they want that tax break so badly when they also see all of the other things that are not being funded. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. I mean, that's also just the Republican playbook of tax breaks, tax breaks, tax breaks. It sounds really good when you say it out loud to people because they think to themselves, I mean, they've proven over and over that trickle down economics doesn't work. But whenever someone hears tax breaks, they're like, I'm going to get my day someday, you know, and just it's never worth it.
Well, it's interesting of like who the messaging works for. Because I have one of the videos I made last week about the child care counts program, you know, the people who have commented on that video who are anti,
yeah,
we'll say, are trying to make arguments against funding that program. It always comes back to personal responsibility. If you can't afford to have kids, don't have kids. Like, why should I have to pay for your child care? And things like that, that it's like, first, there was nothing in this that would have increased your taxes. So this is money that you're already paying anyways. Mm-hmm. And it's like the tax thing and like whether it's getting money back, it's our money, taxes theft, where my taxes go, and don't want it to ever go to like a hand, like anything that could be perceived as a handout. Like, it's just interesting of like who that always resonates with. And it would be interesting to like read more social study research. Unlike, because I think it has to be more complex than just like, well, that person's conservative. It's like, okay, fine. But like, what is it about that person that like that resonates versus the idea of being able to see the bigger picture of like why if we help more people, it also benefits you?
I've heard some people say that it's because we live in a lottery society where everyone believes that they're going to get their day one day, that it's the idea is like, it's just basically like someday that money will come to me in one way or the other. And it doesn't matter how they get it.
Yeah. And that's the thing of like the idea that at some point you could be a millionaire or a billionaire. And so like the extension of rooting for them and rooting for them to do well versus understanding that this actually doesn't have any direct implications for you. But I don't know. So I think it'll be really interesting to see what happens this week. I think it would be very bold for him just not to sign it. I don't know if that has happened very often, but I do think the $32 million cut is a big effing deal. And when there was so much money that was needed to keep the programs competitive. Because, I mean, I think Jay Rothman has come out and said, basically, not only are most of the campuses, I think it was Madison and maybe one other, are all running on a deficit right now. But then also, like, the threat of more two-year campuses having to consolidate or close entirely. And so, like, it's a big deal if we actually just don't fund this. And I know some people just don't regard the UW system as the gem that it is, but we should protect it. All right, we gotta go to another break. When we come back, the good, the bad, and the ironic of headlines. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Russia's military is trying to project a sense of calm as questions swirl about the fate of the leader of the Wagner mercenary group 2 days after he called off an armed rebellion. Russians like this one were surprised.
I think everything will be fine. But of course, I was shaken at the beginning when I heard the news. I really wasn't expecting it.
The Supreme Court has lifted its hold on a Louisiana case that could force the state to redraw congressional districts to boost black voting power. The High Court has also left in place a decision that would allow more than 230 men to sue Ohio State University over decades-old abuse by a school doctor. CBS's Lilia Luciano checks in from Arkansas after a new round of tornadoes and thunderstorms.
The twister ravaged parts of Bargersville, ripping roofs off dozens of homes, including John Keats.
All the roof lifted up and all the nail pops.
At least one person was killed in Indiana. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The Wisconsin Department of Justice has released additional details in a Vernon County shooting that left one man dead. The Department of Justice said 61-year-old William Boardman was leaving a home on June 16th in Genoa and tried to flee from a sheriff's deputy during a traffic stop. The deputy, Jonathan Brown, hung onto the side of the vehicle and shot Boardman after he refused to stop. Boardman was pronounced dead at the scene. The DOJ is still investigating the shooting. A part of La Crosse Central High School will open today after being closed due to an electrical fire in the building's HVAC last Wednesday. The school district said all summer classes and activities would continue as scheduled, although some of them may be moved to a different location until the rest of the building is open. And one of the state's longest-running country music festivals wrapped up over the weekend, Country Fest in Kidat. Expected record crowds of around 100,000 people. During the event, they announced a few of next year's headliners. Eric Church, Keith Urban, and Jake Owen will be part of the lineup in 2024. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today. 855-954-1186.
All in to win. Gingras Thompson & Wachs. GTWLawyers.com.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Mr. Craig Bach, because Jane is out and he now works here. But we're going to talk about more about more about your job and what you're going to be doing at Civic Media in the next segment. But we want to wrap up our first topic of the day, which is, should Tony Evers sign the budget? Should he veto it? And we wanted to hear from you. So we have John on the phone.
Yep.
John, what do you think?
Hi, I'd like to know what our
state officials that are sitting on top of that $6.9 billion, that's 69 million at 1% of interest. We're earning interest with that 69 million would be 1%. So if you have 70 million times three, that's 210 million. 210 million. Just the profit on the interest. So with that money sitting there, what are we doing with it?
So
are we getting paid interest?
Well, I do know that we have a rainy day fund, so but that's separate from the surplus that we have. And so the argument around the surplus is whether we spend it, whether we give it back in tax cuts. And I don't know what the options are, because you're the second person who's called into the show recently to talk about the interest, but I know less about what the benefits would be and even what the possibility of it would be to just let it sit there and grow on interest. I know there's different programs. Like, I know with the initial proposal from Evers on the $290 million for the Brewers Stadium, the way that that was going to be set up was that it was going to be put into a fund that the interest that accrues in that fund could then pay for future restorations versus a one-time payment. And so I know less than like the lump sum of how the interest works for that. But is that what your argument is, John? As just like let it grow?
Yeah, because why don't we let American family pay for their own capital investment at the stadium? Because they own it, right?
So American family doesn't own the building. The county owns the building. The taxpayers have been we've been having a sales tax that's been going to pay off the stadium, and so the county owns the building, and basically AmFam has the titling rights, so they pay to be able to have their name on it, and then the owner of the Brewers is basically, Greg, correct me if I'm wrong, he basically rents AmFam Field from the county.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, John?
No. Okay. I just wanted to say that I think the state should buy some more land to make more state parks.
Oh, yeah.
We're a big fan of parks.
No problem with
that. No problem with that. Thanks. John, where are you calling from?
Oh,
did we lose him?
John was done.
All right, John is done. All right. Well, we will certainly track this as it continues to evolve. But I think it would be a bold. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Because I'm trying to think of the good stuff in this bill that makes it versus the bad stuff. And some of the bad stuff, in my opinion, that is just not going to happen. And we probably knew it wasn't going to happen with this group of lawmakers being Medicaid expansion, marijuana, paid family leave, child care counts still. I mean, there's still some actions and organizing that are happening this week. So I know that there is an amendment that's going to be introduced. We'll see if that goes anywhere. But, you know, some of the stuff like the pay increase for prosecutors, public defenders, the wage increases for state workers, like there is some stuff that's good in here. And it would be, the balance between is it worth just scrapping the whole thing and continuing on with the budget that we've been working off of? I think we have another caller.
Good morning.
Good morning. Who am I speaking with?
Hi. My name is Rob. I live in Port Edwards.
Hey, Rob. How are you doing today?
A couple times in the past.
Yes. Now I recognize your voice.
Very good. Smoke. Yes. Yeah. It's hideous out. Anyway, I have an opinion. I really, truly believe that Governor Evers is a smart man. His heart's in the state. And I truly believe that he should say, no, we're not going to proceed with this budget as you're proposing. You know, carte blanche. Don't sign. Because it's analogous to what they did, what the Fed did with the railroad strike, what we did with the federal budget negotiations. This is a divide and conquer, you know, wedge kind of a process. We just keep chipping away with the end goal in mind, which is to, you know, destroy education in the state here, keep it all private schools, you know, never mind mass transit and proper parks and proper infrastructure support. It's much better to bring a lot of wealthy people that really could care less about any of that because they have their own parks and their own yards.
And golf
it's
courses.
It's unfortunate. But exactly. You know, call it for what it is. This is larceny. And they're taking our money and they're going to throw it at a lot of rich folks that certainly don't need it. And the state in its, you know, largesse needs to have that brought back and spent on making the state better and doing things, which is whatever's proposed initially. These guys have no intention of doing that, none whatsoever. And they're going to say, oh, this is going to make it great. Trickle down doesn't work. How many thousands of times has it been proven? You know, it's unfortunate, but he's going to have to say no, go to October, maybe say no again until you call their bluff, stand firm, and eventually get the voters to say enough is enough. You know, let's stop romper room in Madison and in the House and the Fed. We're gonna you know, call your bluff and hold you firm.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Rob.
It's the only way to stop this.
Absolutely.
So you're have a great day, though.
You too. So we got one for team. Don't sign it. And then on the text line from Lynn in Econimowoc, as I don't believe the July 18th special election for Dan Canodal's 24th Assembly District seat between Bob Tatterson, Democrat, and Paul Melotic, Republican, will cause a supermajority. Time to stand up against the cuts to UW, Tony Evers. Don't sign the budget, Tony, for Wisconsin. Thank you, Lynn.
Yeah, I'm liking this. It's just Oplander. Do
Oplander.
It. Just stamp it.
That would be the honestly, if he doesn't sign this and we go to October and he stands firm on this, I think that is the time that we release the Oplander t-shirts and the merch store for Askos, Wisconsin. And that's the number one.
In Wisconsin, and we get commercial about it.
I also had someone submit a merch idea to me as a onesie that says, "Shh, I'm listening to Askos, Wisconsin with Mommy."
Oh my goodness.
And I was like, I'll probably get that for my kid. But we have another comment on the Facebook live stream. You can always watch us in addition to listen to us on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, where we live stream the show and you can see our beautiful faces and our reactions. Tony Zimmerman says, spending is really the wrong framing. We're investing it and would get more from those investments than the interest. I agree with that.
I will say this. I am not against the idea of the put half the money for the ballpark, because we're going to end up paying for the ballpark. That's just what happens. We're not going to lose the Brewers. But we had Evan Goyke on the show a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. and he was talking about putting half of the money into a high yield interest savings and paying for it that way. I'm like, all right, fine. If that's the way to do it, I think they can get together and make their own money and pay for it. But if we're going to do it like that, then yeah, let's invest high interest and then pay for it.
I think the thing that I get frustrated about is how much the politics of all of this actually, like, instead of the best bill or the best option getting rising to the top, it's the petty partisan politics of we just have to come in lower so it looks like we're sticking it to Evers or we're sticking it to the Democrats or mm-hmm. vice versa of like the ability to actually get things done. And I know everyone's sick of that. And I don't know how we change it under a two-party system, but like that is the thing that whenever I hear wind of how these negotiations go, and there's some portion of it that is not even ideological, not because fundamentally we believe XYZ thing is the best thing for the state, but just like, no, we believe in this is a good thing too. We just can't fund it that much because we can't make Tony Evers look good or whatever, vice versa. So that's the part for me that is frustrating. But as we watch this week, that is, we'll see what happens. We'll see. Yeah. We'll hold our breath. All right. So now it's some time for the good, the bad, and the ironic of headlines. So the good, the Special Olympics in Berlin, the World Special Olympics in Berlin just ended, and some 330,000 people attended across the 8 days to watch one of 26 sports. 6,500 athletes competed. There was 20,000 volunteers.
I love it.
And online, the event is reported to have reached more than a billion people.
Yeah, baby.
Isn't that awesome?
Oh, that makes me so happy.
And then one Wisconsin story. There might be more. This is the only Wisconsin story I found. But Madison native Peter Liu, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, is returning to the Badger State with a silver medal from the Special Olympics World Games in Berlin. On Friday, he and his teammates, made up of Liam Price, Gina Grant, Kirsty McCoy, they won silver for the 4x50 medley relay. And there's another person on that team who also won a gold medal. But then Peter Liu from Madison placed sixth overall in the 200-meter breaststroke finals.
Congratulations, so, Peter.
Congratulations, Peter.
We love you.
The bad.
Oh.
Greek Fest at State Fair closed early Saturday. This is, 6 days after the shooting that happened at...
Yeah.
At Juneteenth. And I was having this debate with Mike. Because obviously when people started talking about this on Twitter, there was a bunch of racist, crappy comments that I didn't feel like engaging with because Twitter is a dumpster fire. But, you know, and people saying, well, what is the Milwaukee leaders going to do about this? And I think it's, and I'm going to try to find someone to come in and actually talk about this because, as you think about what are the actual options, because these are it's teenagers, right? It's teenagers who have nothing else to do. You know, people are talking about that Greek Fest set themselves up for this because it was a free event. And,
that's so ridiculous.
There's a lot of things that were said that were ridiculous. But it's how do you change without putting in punitive policies that continue the cycle of poverty? Because it's if you hold the parents accountable, but if the parents are already poor. You fine people or you arrest people. And both of those things, if they're already in a crap situation, mm-hmm. only make things worse. Programming is obviously an option, but that takes time to actually see the results of. And so it's what do you do? You just start bring back super racist policies of stop and frisk, or if you look like this, you can't come in. But it's just I feel for the leaders as far as not knowing how do you do this in an ethical, how do you curb gunshots at Juneteenth or fights unnecessary at Greek Fest and stuff like that without punitive more incarceration. And because Wisconsin, did you know this? Wisconsin has the second highest percentage of prisoners locked up for crimes committed as youth in the country.
No, but okay.
So I don't have an answer in this moment, but it just another headline and another fight and another public event that's supposed to be joyful and fun.
Yeah.
Just highlights another thing. Thing is I don't know what the answer is.
Yep.
But it can't just be super racist policies.
Correct. I mean, more people have to come together to make a decision, so.
All right. Well, we'll get to the ironic headline when we come back. Greg Bach is here. I'm Kristen Bry. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be back in a minute.
To achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday or is it Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday
to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influence, and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We have a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm this afternoon. Otherwise, it'll be mostly cloudy this morning, gradually becoming partly cloudy by this afternoon. And a high today, right around 75. The wind north at 10 to 20. Clear tonight, 54. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 67.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Kristen Bry, he is Greg Bach, and rounding out the good, the bad, and the ironic of headlines, Greg, I feel like you might have some funny follow-up jokes for this one. is this the headline of the year? Harvard professor who studies honesty accused of falsifying data in studies.
I need to, I gotta get the loser horn from... Price is Right. My gosh.
I mean, that's like such an interesting study of itself. It's like, how do you... Yeah. So basically, I mean, I'm not going to go into the whole thing. It seems like it's ongoing. But in an ironic twist in the world of behavioral science, a Harvard professor who studies honesty has been accused of data fraud. And over the last few weeks, allegations have surfaced against Francesca Gino, a prominent Harvard Business School professor who's been accused of falsifying results in several behavioral science studies. And she did not comment for the article.
And if she commented, we'd be like, where'd you get that comment from?
I know. So I thought that was a little ironic to round out our roundup for today. But, Greg Bach, let's talk about your job.
Which one?
You're like me.
Yeah.
We both have multiple jobs. But,
yeah.
You know, you might have, I think some people started to pick up on this a little bit. I had a couple people DM me or drop a line asking, is Greg going to maybe be a producer soon? But if you are new to this show, Greg Bach is a dear friend of mine who's been my co-host on Wednesdays for almost a year now.
Yeah.
I mean, because you started doing this, what, in August, September?
Yeah, I came in a couple of times here and there, and then you said to me, you know, hey, do you want to come in on Wednesdays? And I was like, oh my good gravy. And it's been a blast ever since. And, you know, being here and helping out with whatever I can for you and Jane, and the opportunity opened up, and I was lucky enough to be hired by Civic Media. So now I'm an official employee of the company as a producer.
As a producer. So starting soon, because we know that you live in Kenosha, you're not going to be producing this show immediately. What show are you going to be producing on which station?
The Lou Regani Show. That will be starting on July the 10th. Everything points towards July the 10th from 6 to 8 a.m., on WRJN 1400 on your dial.
So that's for our Racine Kenosha station.
Racine Kenosha friends, and maybe I think even a little bit of South Milwaukee too.
Great. And then who is Lou Regani?
Lou Regani is a 30-year radio vet. He's been doing radio down in Kenosha for a very, very long time. Does shows like Music of the Stars. He also had Memories of Kenosha, I believe, or Kenosha Memories. But it was a show, like, he likes to talk about the history of the community. He talked a lot about Kenosha, and this, we're going to expand it a little bit because We'll be in Racine, so we'll talk Racine, we'll talk Kenosha, but we're also statewide on the Civic Media app. You can stream the show, yeah. So we can talk about Wisconsin as well. In fact, hey, if you got an interesting story out of Oxnard, California, and we want to do it, maybe we'll do it. I just like saying Oxnard when I can.
Oxnard. So 6 to 8 a.m., so you're going to have to be getting up earlier.
I will not field those questions. Thank you very much. I appreciate you. Just mind your business.
But then also something that people can look forward to is because, you know, I am still pregnant.
Which Wait, you are?
We're going to talk a little bit more
How
about.
How am I finding out about this now?
I know, right? Actually, Sandy, who joins Earl's show a lot, I think on Mondays and Fridays, as we were switching places in the WAUK studio today, he commented, he goes, well, you're starting to look the part, which I think is his way of saying, now you're starting to look pregnant.
That was... those were words.
Those were words. But when I take my leave to take care of this baby girl,
don't leave us ever.
You're going to be doing double duty. You'll be doing Lowe's show and this show.
Duty.
Because Jane is going to take over as the host.
Yep.
And then you're going to be here every day.
I feel like we're making huge announcements.
I know.
I love this. Yes. So I will be helping out as you take care of your, I'm going to just go for and say your gorgeous baby girl. Because
she'll be gorgeous to me.
She'll be gorgeous.
I love the idea that because of just how biology and evolution works,
yeah,
that even if you have the ugliest kid, the parents are like, you're so cute because I have to take care of you. So our brains just tell us how beautiful that baby is.
See, the thing is, if I had a kid, I'm pretty logical and I'm pretty reasonable. I'm on the level. If I had a kid, I'm going to think my kid's cute, but I'm also going to be like, I understand.
I get it.
One eye is bigger than the other. It's
fine. Did you have, were your nieces and nephews, is there a plural of those or just two nieces and one nephew?
A niece and a nephew?
Just a niece and a nephew.
Yeah.
Were they gorgeous babies or were you objective?
Well, when they first came out, they were not. I mean, they were just, they looked like their faces had been pressed down and they were smushed and like, but yeah, no, they were really, really cute. And then they hit that like year one where their nose started to go orange and they just looked confused all the time. I'm like, oh, let's put it back.
Wait, what thing that they're orange?
Sometimes
their nose
babies
went orange?
Get like orange noses.
I've literally never heard of that.
Okay, well,
what do you mean their noses get orange?
I don't know. I'll show you pictures. They had like little like I have no. Look, I'm not a doctor
like
nor
Rudolph?
My mother. What?
Like Rudolph, but orange?
Like orange? Like they stuck their nose in
like a pumpkin
carrot paste or something.
All right. If anyone else has ever heard of this, if this is a thing that I should be aware of that could happen to my kid. An orange nose, please shoot us a text, 844-967-2789, because the way you just said that made it sound like this is like, oh, you know, this happens to all those kids, and then they grow out of it. I've like never seen that or heard of that before.
Well, you know, I know things about babies.
Tony Zimmerman just said, I have two kids, and I have no idea what Greg is
talking
about.
Tony, you are no longer on my side. I don't like you anymore, Tony Zimmerman.
So maybe this was a your niece and nephew thing.
Maybe it was, but they're still adorable. And they're adorable now, and they're adults. They are full-blown, governmental-recognized adults. Very weird.
But anyways, that was a tangent. So you are... I'm part of the Civic Media family now.
I am.
And so you may be here this week, more filling in for Jane, which is super fun. And how do you feel so far? Hour one done.
Hour one's good. I'm just still getting, if you're watching the live stream right now, which you can do, you can see me like bopping around. I'm bopping around a lot. I'm looking at things, making sure things are happening.
Jane bops around.
I know, but that's part of
being a producer.
Jane bops like a professional. I'm bopping like a newbie and I want to be good at my job.
Well, so far, so good.
Yay!
You got one more hour. You think you got it in you?
Oh, man, I'm going to mess this up so hard.
You're going to have to take such a hard nap after this because you're just exhausted from this amount of focus
right?
For 2 hours straight.
I know.
All right. Well, when we come back, I want to reflect a little bit on a year post-Roe being overturned, kind of a recap of some of the stories that have happened, where all these lawsuits are, laws that have been introduced. It's been as chaotic as I predicted it would be. And then at 11:30, we're talking to Dr. Bryce Smith about LGBTQ history in Milwaukee. I'm so excited to hear some of his stories. Stick around. We got the top of the hour news, and we'll be back in a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Jazz Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Matinair.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap.